Blog Talk Radio.
Shit Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
There she is. Bitches.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Ranger fans, report the critical thinking hanger. Ranger fans, report the critical thinking hanger.
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Dubinsky marches on with it. Gains the zone, taps it over, Delzato. Swept it on back, Callahan scores! Binsky, he looks over his shoulder. How much time do I have? He gets this puck, now Callahan crosses in front of him. Michael Delzato stays onside. Great pass from Dubinsky. Delzato to Callahan, wide open in the slot, off the post and in. No chance for Ty Conklin. But Brandon Dubinsky made the play initially, Doc. He didn't hurry the puck. And what a way to celebrate the birthday for Ryan Callahan.
And good evening, Blue Shirt Underground Radio on Thursday, March 22nd. Ryan Callahan with the overtime winner against the Detroit Red Wings. Eddie, good evening. How are you?
Doing great. Proud of the New York Rangers last night. I mean, come on. Big time victory. First time Henrik Lundqvist had beaten the Detroit Red Wings, and it seems like it's been a long time, and it was a gutsy win, and it was exciting. Rangers had a lot of opportunities and once again held the Detroit to not that many opportunities, and we got a victory. 2 points is 2 points, especially this stage of the game, so I'm doing well. I'm proud of this group, as Torts would say. I'm proud of this group.
Yeah. It's a good room. It's a good reason. Proud of the room. I thought, you know, I was very surprised. I thought the way they came out last night, the way they were moving the puck, the way they were getting shots on goal with Ty Conklin in the net, I really thought they were going to score 5 goals last night. Conklin, I thought he played a good game. I really did. Stepping into yeoman's work. You know, Detroit was missing some players and he had his work cut out for him last night. I thought he played a good game. I was very surprised. He looked a little shaky in the early going, but he settled down and he played a tough game. He really did. I thought he looked better than Varlamov did the other night. I didn't think Varlamov had to make as many tough saves as Conklin did last night. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this much. They were kind of already going into that game, the people who were covering it, they were going into it almost conceding that, wow, listen, Ty Conklin is a AHL goaltender. He's kind of been bouncing back and forth between NHL and AHL. No Nick Lidstrom for Detroit. And you know the old song and dance when it comes to the Rangers and goaltenders, not supposed to be so great, and then all of a sudden they're, Ken Dryden, Rogie Vachon, Patrick Roy, for some of you younger people out there, we tend to make these goaltenders look like, world beaters, but And but I think Conklin did play a good game. I wouldn't go as far as say he was as good as Varlamov, but he did play an excellent game. I mean, it was wasn't a lot of luck involved. I thought the Rangers had a lot of scoring opportunities, and he certainly came to play. But the thing was, the difference was is that the Rangers didn't lose to a goaltender that's playing way over his head.
Right.
They actually won the game. And to me, that was, I think I had mentioned this on Monday, Ryan Callahan is back. He just played a great, fantastic game last night. He was all over the place defensively. When he blocked that shot, when he came all the way across in the defensive end to block his shot, I mean, and, you know, it was interesting because the game against the Devils, it was so diametrically different considering the Rangers didn't hit much. They didn't win many faceoffs in this game, whereas they pretty much dominated in against New Jersey. They couldn't win a faceoff for their life in this game.
Oofah.
They got
could pull them up, but off the top of my head, I think Richards was 2 for 19 on faceoffs last night.
Yeah,
I really don't think I'm exaggerating that number either.
It was like 35-11. I didn't even realize there were that many faceoffs, but I thought Callahan by far was, I mean, the guy is just everywhere. I mean, it's just a superb hockey player, and he's really taken the captaincy. And you know, we always put the guy on the onus when you get a contract, and he got a contract and the responsibility, and he's fantastic. And I gotta say something, we've given Brandon Dubinsky a lot of guff on this program for his a little bit, and
tough love.
But he has really stepped it up the last two games. That's what he needs to do, is what he's done, especially yesterday. He needs to get into traffic. He needs to take it upon himself to make a play. Now, listen, I still think 95% of his players are not going to wind up doing anything, but he's forechecking. He's involved. I think he drew a penalty, too, yesterday. So he's looked much better. What a great time it is for him to kind of, up his level of play. And I was really pleased with the victory. I mean, yeah, they didn't have Nick Lidstrom. You know, we've had guys out and like somebody said in the chat room, a win is a win is a win. You know, we needed the 2 points. I just want to have that first overall and that's what I'm really shooting for. And the team responded that, and now they've won two in a row, right? Is it two in a row? Yeah.
Two in a row.
So,
Richards was 2 for 18 last night on his faceoffs. Brian Boyle was 8 for 16. Stepan 2 for 7. Dubinsky 3 for 6.
Man, Richards got owned.
Datsyuk was 8 for 8 against Richards, 2 for 2 against Stepan. I mean, let's face it; he's one of the best players. We don't get, even if you have center eye. I don't watch a lot of Red Wings hockey, but he's fun to watch. Datsyuk.
Yes,
I mean he really is. He really is. I mean he could do it all. But he was 13 of 17 last night on faceoffs. That's not bad.
No,
that's not bad at all. As a matter of fact, the only Boyle was able to beat him, and Callahan was 1 for 1 on a faceoff against him.
Yeah.
Richards and Dubinsky he was perfect against. So
Dubinsky, we want to might as well.
Dubinsky,
the new Dubinsky clip.
Dubinsky. Dubinsky.
Stabinski. Bobinski.
Anyway, yes. You know, it's funny. Yeah. I mean, come on. Anytime you can say Dubinsky in a weird way, it's...
Dubinsky!
I got to get your version on there, too, to add on that. Which is very similar to the mine. You've got that down. You've got the art of mimicry. Mimicry, is it mimicry?
Mimicry,
yes. You have that art down. Almost to
a sign. To get everybody... Send us a clip saying Dubinsky, however they want, and then we'll just put it together in one long file. Throw my daughter in there because she does it. She goes, Dubinsky!
Yeah, see? So, yeah, I really thought his play, he played really well. I didn't see too much bad. There were some really bad giveaways in that game. As a matter of fact, I don't know if anyone caught this. I think it was Olczyk or Emmerich. Said that Stahl had given the puck away. And I watched that video like three times back, and it wasn't Stahl. It was Richards. I don't know why they called Stahl on that now. And it was one of the, it was, I think, one of those giveaways where then, you know, they had us pinned in for like a minute. And it was like, oh, boy, this is going to result in a goal. And, you know, talking about resulting in goals, you know, Henrik, that first goal was, I thought it was kind of weak. Went through his legs, but after that, he, you know, he shut him down. He played very well, I thought, the remainder of the way. I mean, they only gave up that, you know, that early goal, right? Yeah, that early goal in the first period. And that was it.
And really, I mean, you know, you go back and look at his last, I think it's seven games or so, his save percentage has been down. And, you know, look, a couple of people have said something to me, and I said, you know, I said the best way I could put it is he's been good, not great. And good, you know, on that team, good won't cut it. If he's
right.
not great, they're not, you know, they're 500. I mean, and go look at the numbers. He's been good, not great. And what are they over the last 10? I think they're 5-5.
Yeah.
Chris, I'll get you. We'll get you that Doobie Cat. Shoot me an email, jrs1940@gmail.com. I got the file. I thought it was on. I thought we had that on blueshirtunderground.com.
It's. I had problems getting it on there. I'll try it.
Okay.
I'll try to get it. I don't know if I could solely attribute it to Lundqvist, but you're right. But the Rangers just keep on keeping these teams from getting, like, you know, they're keeping them under 20 shots a game. It's hard to win when you're a team, you're only getting 20 shots to get to Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I thought offensively, right now I like the team. Now, Fedotenko didn't play. What was that all about? I did not see the game live. Why was he scratched?
He didn't play.
I don't know. I mean, unless I missed something,
I didn't even notice, and I didn't hear them say why he didn't play.
Did he not? I mean, unless I'm
looking at the time on ice report. He did not play.
Yeah, he was a healthy scratch. We're getting it from
D94. Didn't even notice.
So they decided, in essence, I guess, to go with Zuccarello over Fedotenko.
Yeah.
Which I love Ruslan Fedotenko. I don't have to really preface, but, you know, say that before I say anything. But I like the lineup they have now. I like the lineup. I like the defense the way it is. There's a couple things I wanted to talk about as far as the defense. I don't want to go to Frankieville right now, but I am going to say that Mark Stahl, to me, is not at the top of his game yet. Now, I don't know if it's a consequence of playing with Stu Bickel. I still don't feel he's as dominant as he was last year. Now, I don't know, you know, how long it's going to take. I didn't see any glaring errors. I just don't see him as forceful. And
I would agree with you. How's this for an analogy? In years past, most of the time he's the best defenseman on the ice for them, and I don't think that's happened very very many games this year since he's been back.
Right. I think that's a good summation because.
But DB Maven just made a great point in the chat room. 2/3 of Stahl is better than 2-way Witkus.
Yeah.
I'll sting your 2/3 of Stahl and raise you a Woj Witka.
Well, maybe it's because Ryan McDonagh has just been so good. I mean, he's just been so.
Yeah.
I mean, he really has, and he is emerging as one as an offensive force. He knows when to join the play, and I thought he would kind of tail off with all these minutes, but he continues to play well. And it's really great to see. And I still think the best of Stahl is yet to come. And the other one, another thing I want to talk, which I may take a little bit of a lambasting for, is now, listen, I'm not criticizing Dan Girardi, but I want you guys to watch for it. Usually in the first period, there is a complete Girardi blow-up. He's either going to throw the puck up the middle. Now, you know, for the remainder of the game, he's steady, he's Dan Girardi. But there is always a point in the first period where he makes a disastrous, cataclysmic mistake that because I've been keeping track, it at least happened a dozen times this year. So
you know,
that was,
I think, did he make a bad turnover early in the game last night?
Yeah. I mean,
and I think he made one late in the game. I think he made a bad turnover as well, but they recovered from it. I think it was late in the third period.
On a defense that's played so well, and you know they're only giving up, they're not giving up to 20 shots in that game
right.
on that. But you know, just something to watch for. We may have a you know the Dan Girardi first period blow up watch. But other than that, it was a very nice win. I mean, they were, you know, it was only 1 point separating them in Pittsburgh, and now it's 3 points. I don't know what Pittsburgh's doing tonight. Does anybody have an update on that score?
Last I saw, they were winning 4-1.
Oh, boy.
The boy is right. 5-1. 5 minutes to go.
5-1.
It's over. So they're going to be back to a print behind us, as my grandmother.
And I have to apologize for Monday's, I guess, piss-poor performance by myself. I was kind of feeling under the weather, and I listened back to the broadcast. I was probably as boring as I've ever been. And, you know, maybe I'm being too hard on myself, but I wasn't feeling all into it. And I really just freaking destroyed that Pittsburgh fan. Why I was trying to be diplomatic, I have no idea.
Actually, when I listened back to it, I thought it played really well. 'Cause it was a complete role reversal. I mean, usually you would have been the one going ballistic on the guy, and I would have been the one calming down. So when you were trying so when it started, I thought it played really well. I thought it sounded funny.
Oh, okay. All right,
and you know what? I talked about this. I thought we didn't have – I think this is the clip I was talking about. Is this it? Sorry. I thought that was the clip I was talking about where the guy's yelling, it's a call to arms, but that seems to be just bugle music. I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny.
And, I mean, do you agree with me that, how do you like this defensive grouping? I thought Bickle played well last night. I think it fits well. I like the compliments of each defenseman. I think Tim Erickson is fitting in nicely. Where are you? I mean, what do you guys think?
Well, I think Erickson, you know, I said this the other night, I think the best thing I could say about Erickson is I don't notice him. You know, he's not making any mistakes, at least not that I can see. You know, he's just he's not making any mistakes. Not hearing his name called. He's not doing anything.
My buddy.
Exactly. Thank you, Paulie. You know, he's not doing anything spectacular, but steady. And I think with as far as the defense goes, I think Tortorella's done a nice job of kind of rotating these guys in, you know, I don't know what you want to call them, B-level guys, Emminger, Roy Whitkin, Strawman. I think he's done a decent job of kind of rotating them just a little bit so that before they burn out and before they get exposed. Because I think that started to happen a little bit with Strawman. I really do. I think these guys, they're good for a while, but guys like that, they're going to get exposed. You know, it's kind of like a backup catcher in baseball. You know, the guy might hit, be hitting 300 coming off the bench with 150 at bats, but if he's got to play full time, he's going to get exposed, and you know it's not going to happen.
It's the Danny Heap syndrome.
Mackie Sasser.
Oh God, Mackie Sasser was the catcher who couldn't throw back to the pitcher. Right, he had that hitch.
Yeah, right. He had the double pump. But anyway, I think he's, you know, Bickle frustrates me sometimes, but you know, I try and catch myself and remember that he's just a rookie, and you know, but look, I can't really complain much about the defense. Delzato did not have the best of games last night, but he did make a nice pass to Callahan on the goal. So
that's right. You can make it.
Vinsky had the great first pass. And then Delzato to Callahan. Rube Baker from Major League 2. Good one, Kevin.
Yeah, Delzato needs to hit the net. This guy is going to, I mean, that's one of the most glaring things with this guy is that he gets these opportunities and he's got to put the puck on net. You just got to get it on. I mean, you know, see how Girardi does it? He just throws it towards the net. You don't have to try to put it through the net and the glass. Because all he's doing is hitting the glass. That power play would be so potent. I mean, the way it's forming up now with the addition of Zuccarello, that if they had any kind of defenseman who could really handle the puck and get those shots on net, it certainly doesn't look like the 29th power play, ranked power play in NHL right now, which is a good thing because, you know, I think it's rounding into shape, and I think the team's back on track, Jim. I mean, you know, we were talking 2 weeks ago or so. This team is playing badly, and I think they're back on the right track.
I think they're getting there. We got Buffalo tomorrow night, Toronto Saturday night.
Who?
The Laughs?
The
Marlies.
Marlies.
St. Pat's. you know, let's see how they get through these next couple of games. You know, last week they won two in a row, and I thought they were back, and then they proceeded to...
I thought the way they won the last two games, I really thought that they showed, especially with the Callahan play and the just the grittiness and the intensity was there. And they're not running around. For that little bit, they were running around in their own end. I don't see that as much. So I think things are looking good for the Rangers now.
Think the other thing they got going for them is you got Brad Richards playing best hockey of the season.
Yeah.
Dubinsky seems to be coming, you know, he's playing the best he's played all season. How nice was that goal Richard scored last night?
Oh,
that was Brian Leetch.
It was a coast-to-coast job, baby. You know, they gave him a lot of, Detroit really got to be faulted on that defense, though. I mean, I haven't seen that much ice since, like, 1980.
Well,
when you go
Richard,
to center ice.
Richard
I mean,
said
like
as, he was as he was coming up the ice, He said he was waiting for Gabrick to be open so he could pass the puck to him, but he had so much open ice that he just kept going.
Yeah. I mean, it was like the parting of the sea there, and he just went in and you know, it was a great goal, and he's, I think, got 15 points in this month already. He's having his best month. The whole line has been, you know, playing well. I was going to say that, you know, last night we went against an AHL goalie. When we play the Maple Leafs, we'll be going against an AHL team.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Eat
the AHL. That's for Cutter. Because
California Penal League.
I mean, what's going on over there? Isn't that supposed to be like the hotbed for hockey, Toronto? They can't even get a team in the playoffs. Are they even close to the playoffs? Come on. What a disgrace.
Seed.
What about the Canadiens? Are they in the race?
No. There's only one team in the league, I think, that's been mathematically eliminated, and that's the Blue Jackets. I think they are the only team in the league that can't make the playoffs.
Oh, wow. Cutter's giving it to me now. But yes.
What could he possibly be giving it to you about?
He said, shut up, Geico.
Oh. He got you there.
Oh, yeah, he got me.
Sick burns.
Sick burns. Oh, snap.
Toronto's in 12th place, 72 points.
Where is Scott Gomez in the Montreal Canadiens?
Dead last.
Ugh.
Looking up at the Icelanders.
Oh, boy, that's got to be a national day of disaster over there. I mean, the Canadiens, the Leafs, and
like,
meanwhile you have Ottawa.
They'd rather run out of poutine or whatever that stuff is called.
Poutang? What are you talking about?
No, that poutini or whatever it is. It's the, I don't know what it is. Cheese curds and something. I don't know. It's a Canadian dish. I don't know. Cotter will tell you.
All right. Okay. All
look
right.
It up on Wikipedia.
On Wikipedia. We're not hearing from that guy tonight, are we?
I didn't tell him there was a show. So.
Oh, good.
He's not on the line yet, so he's probably... He's probably doesn't know about the show tonight, so I'm all right with that for tonight.
So I heard you have some clip of Callahan after the game. They interviewed him or something.
We'll
talk about the broadcast after that.
Yeah. Here it is.
27th birthday, Netcam is a casualty, so are the Red Wings for the extra point. 27th goal. And here's Pierre.
Thanks a lot, Doc. This was a very different kind of a game. Did you guys decide to up the ante in overtime?
No, I mean, I thought we had a pretty strong game throughout. Both teams were good defensively. We had our chances, and you know, it was a tight game, and then we get one in overtime, which is a huge 2 points this time of year.
Ryan, when you go into overtime and you talk about the huge 2 points, are you aware that the Pittsburgh Penguins are just behind you in the standings and they have a game in hand?
Yeah, it's no secret. You know, they're climbing fast. They're right behind us. But at the same time, we're trying to get our game amped up and ready for playoffs, and that's our big concentration right now.
How do you explain how resilient your group has become?
You know, we battle all year. We had a little bit of a dip here lately, but, you know, we respond. We're playing well on home ice, which is good going into playoffs.
I know John Tortorella talks about it all the time, the identity of your team, shot blocking, hard work, and everything else. How much do you actually think about that when you're playing? Because you embody all that he talks about.
I think everybody right through the lineup, you know, we don't think about it anymore. We just go out there and do it. And so far, it's gotten us where we are right now.
Happy birthday, young man.
Thank you.
Doc.
You want to go first? I thought the stupidest question was, are you aware that the Pittsburgh Penguins are 1 point behind you? No.
But no, they weren't. They were 3 points at that point.
3 points, right. I mean, I don't know where to start. I could just tell you one thing. You know, with those two Mamalukes, Sam and Micheletti, I got to deal with the promotion of other teams' players. But McGuire, I mean, was absolutely gushing over Pittsburgh Wonder Boy defenseman who's been 3 years in the AHL, Brendan Smith. is so ready for the NHL. Isn't he impressive, Ed? Whatever they call him, what's his nickname over there? Enzo. Look at Brendan Smith. Brendan Smith. I thought it was the Casper Dogovin show again. The Dogovin show. I mean, didn't he seem like he was really pushing Brendan Smith? And then Brendan Smith made a terrible play in old Chicago. He goes, what an awful play by Brendan Smith. Edzo. Dixo. I hate that guy, too. He's anti-Ranger. Don't let him fool you, folks. So, anyway. And Emmerich, I still feel like Emmerich is an anti-Ranger. And what a stupid comment. For you older folks out there who've followed this game for many years, he made a comparison that Thomas Holmstrom was as good in front of the net as Gary Dornhofer. Now, listen, I have no love for Gary Dornhofer. He was a winger in the 70s for the Philadelphia Flyers, late 60s, early 70s, mid-70s. He was a guy who parked himself in front of the net. He played against some of the toughest, roughest defensemen that ever played this game. He played in an era where if you stood in front of the net, you got cross-checked in the face. You got speared in the chest. You got speared between the legs. You were challenged to fight. You had to fight. And to compare him, now listen, well, hold on. This is Holmstrom right now. Okay. To compare him to that Swedish meatball Holmstrom, who in this NHL, listen, he's good at what he does in this present day game, but you certainly are not made to earn your bones in front of the net like you were back in the 60s and 70s. So for Doc Emmerich, to equate that to him and each other is ridiculous. And Thomas Holmstrom could not spend 10 games in front of the net back in the day. It was a different game. You got even near the goalie, it was over. You get butt ends, you get cross checks, you get razor blades, you get the knives. I mean, it was crazy back then, Jim. I mean, it was blood pellets, and it was like a wrestling match out there. You got me? You hear me?
I was just letting you, yeah, absolutely. No, I agree.
I mean, it was, and I just thought that was an overstatement. Where did he come up with that?
That's all, you know, the hyperbole. They love it.
What else? Did you get anything else out of that game? I mean, the announcing?
The stupid lines, you know, just, again, nobody talks the way he talks. Nobody, and that doesn't make him unique and special. It just makes him a jackass. What did he say last night? Oh, it's an almost. What did he say? Somebody, I don't even remember who it was, put a hit on, I think maybe Dubinsky, and it was an almost illegal hit on Dubinsky, but almost being the operative word. Shut the fuck up! I just missed 3 minutes of the game while you're spewing out these lines, these Shakespearean soliloquies of yours. The only thing I didn't hear last night, one of his favorite, they're warming to the task. I still don't know. I still, he kills me when he says shit like, but Colorado is warming to the task. Actually, it sounds more like Colorado warming to the task. I can't stand it. I miss Sam and Joe. I miss Sam and Joe. Sam and Joe, it's all comedy. The NBC sport, they just infuriate me because you sit there and you scream at the TV.
Let me ask you this question.
All right.
Would you rather have Bednotti
or
would you rather have Emmerich?
Emmerich.
Right. That's how
Emmerich.
You know.
Because Emmerich was only a real homer when he was a Devils announcer. Beninati's just he's I don't know how he has a job. He's a complete tool. if I saw him on the streets, I'd get down on my knees and punch him in the nose.
I don't know. It's all a shit parade anywhere in the booth. We can't get away from these
parades. I can't get one good call. Now, there's a couple of decent announcers out there. Oh, look, Shannon from Blog Talk Radio is on Skype. How about answering my email from 3 days ago, Shannon? Let's take care of business, baby. It's time.
Yeah. It's time for Blog Talk to
Thought I heard the captain say, pay me my money down.
Pay me my money down. Yeah, I mean,
nobody works for the Caps, Joe.
Yeah.
Well, used to do versus games until they fired him.
The grade eight. So Rangers are sitting up atop the whole kit and caboodle here. I'm confident. I'm ready to go. I just think it's good things as far as I'm concerned. I just can't believe we've already, you know, clinched the playoffs, waiting. It's like I'm in some kind of alternate bizarro world where the Rangers are good. And it's a good thing. I'm still enjoying all of it. It seems like it went fast, though.
Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun. It's only 9 games left in the season. It feels like just a couple weeks ago they were in Europe. Right?
Right. Doesn't it seem like like 30 games ago they were in Europe and we were complaining this team is bad. They got a team of fourth liners and third liners. And,
well, actually, we were saying that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's true. all it takes is one slump, and we're we don't lose it. And this is another thing. Now it's creeping up. The whole. Oh, I told you, Pittsburgh, got to watch out for the Penguins. They're a real team. With Jordan Staal as your sixth-line center, they got depth. This team is to be reckoned with. Everybody's got to calm down. This sounds like the same rhetoric we heard about the Bruins before the lights went out on Tim Thomas.
And the same thing we heard about Detroit 6 weeks ago. When they were on that home streak, right?
Right. So let's I'll give you time to cue this one up. So let's not shit our pants on this one. I mean, I'm not about to I'm not quaking in my boots yet. Sidney Crosby is about a fart away from another concussion. And once
he's
gone,
and if you have a chance, finish him. He's a good player, but don't shit your pants on him.
Thank you, Torts.
And now that loopholes are hurt, Kessel is their only good player. Offensively, at least. But, let's not get too crazy. I know the Penguins are a good team. They're a well-coached team. But, like, if that caller called today, I said, listen, buddy, you can't stop us. The regular season is the regular season. But once we get into the postseason, and if we have a home advantage, we've got the better goaltender. I think we can put it on lockdown defensively like no other team in the league. That's the bottom line. There is no other team in this league right now. I don't care what the stats say, goals against per game, your shots per game given up. The New York Rangers will put you on lockdown. There's only been a handful of teams that have been able to really – really kind of trumped that whole theory, and Pittsburgh's been one of them the last couple of games. But I think when it comes to the playoffs, it'll be a different animal. It always is. I really think with the best goaltender going in, and the other teams I think that have shown that the Bruins – I think the last couple games played the Rangers really well. And that St. Louis team, which is just taken off into some other stratosphere.
They've come out of nowhere. Really?
I mean, Ken Hitchcock, I mean, this is like the second coming of Scotty Bowman here. This guy comes in and it's they're playing a brand of hockey that's just I know they're not in our conference, but they're scary. When the Rangers played – I just want to say, when the Rangers played them, the Rangers looked like they were eons away from being as physical and dominating as they were.
You see how many games they've lost at home?
What's the
talk about how good? Talk about how good the Rangers are at home. They've lost 4 games at home this year.
That's
4.
How many? 4 million?
4 million! 29-4-4.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah. That's not bad. You're doing something right when you... I mean, and think about it. Detroit won how many home games in a row? And St. Louis still has a better... And St. Louis has a better record than they do at home. How many games was that in a row they won at home, Detroit? Was it 22 or something like that?
Around there, yeah.
And St. Louis still has a better record than they do at home.
Hmm. That's...
pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Four million. All right, well, we only got 20 minutes to go. 646-478-4692 is the number if you guys want to call in. You want to see my surprise? You got
4 million.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Put my video. Can you put my video on?
Oh yeah. Okay. Hold on. Let me see.
Let me know when you get there.
Funky. Here we go.
Do what my brother got me.
Okay, I got you.
All right. You got my. Now's your chance. If you want to see what my brother got me, you turn my video on. You can right click my. I think you right click my name on the chat room and turn it on.
Wow. A marital aid in Ranger colors. Wow.
Nice, right? Ready?
Sorry.
1, 2, 3. There it is.
Oh!
I mean, Brad
Oh,
Richard.
Look at it.
It's very nice.
Wow, in back-to-back weeks, we get jerseys.
This is my first new Rangers jersey in probably 15 years, maybe more.
Wow.
So, this is
great.
I don't know. I know he bought it. It's like a... I think it's a knockoff, but it looks close enough to the real thing for my taste.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
Here it is again. I'll show it one more time for anybody that didn't get to see it. It's got the A on it. The lettering looks right. The logo looks right.
Now, your brother, did he ask you what guy you wanted, or he just got who you thought you might want?
No, he ordered. Here, I'm doing it again because I forgot there was a little bit of a delay. So if you got my video on, there it is. There it is, Brad Richards. You can see it on the back. There I am.
I like that.
No, I think wherever he ordered it from, he only had a couple of choices, and Brad Richards just happened to be one of them. So, I like Brad Richards. It wouldn't have been my first choice for a jersey, but for the price, I'll take it. So,
You couldn't have a better guy right now. The guy is hot since you've had that jersey. How long have you had it in your possession?
About 2 hours. Came in the mail. It came in the mail today.
That's great, man.
So, yeah, pretty excited about it.
I love my brother, but he don't give a damn. B.B. Mabry's got the McDonough, too. McDonough is a stud. Now, I was thinking about, we've had these people come on, you know, the Leslie Treffs and the Jess Rubensteins, and I think Leslie, more than anybody, would say, they're Hagelin should be, they're projecting him to be a third line forward or a McDonough, he'll be a second pairing, maybe third pairing defenseman. But you never know with these young guys. I mean, you know, sometimes they just exceed expectations, you know, and just exceed, you know, they just come in at the right time or they're a good fit. And the Rangers have been very blessed with guys that have just advanced. Because they were talking about that in the game last night about how, you know, defensemen mature later. And that certainly is true. But the Rangers, to their credit, have been able to bring guys right in a lot of instances. I mean, although Delzato's progress was a little bit stunted because he missed a year of juniors, but they've been able to do that, the Rangers.
Do you remember last year when the Rangers came to camp, and McDonough was in camp with them? Do you remember the media was saying that McDonough wasn't, I forget what the exact term was, but he wasn't as far along as they thought he was going to be?
I do remember that. Yeah,
remember them saying that, like I guess for lack of a better, the Rangers were disappointed in him in how he looked
at
the beginning of training camp last year. And there was some school of thought that he'd spend the whole year in the AHL last year.
Yeah, that's true. They did. I remember that saying. They thought that he would be a lot. They were expecting him to be farther along, like you said. And look at Hagelin. Hagelin didn't have a good camp at all. I didn't see any of this stuff that I see now with Hagelin. I mean, guys in training camp. So you never know with the Rangers, and I don't know what it is, but this team just comes to play. That's just why I'm so happy about this season. I mean, yeah, there's been about a dozen games where they've played crappy, but the rest of the games they've come out and really just shown the heart and the desire to win, and done everything to it. And you know, they kept saying. Emmerich kept alluding to it last night about how the Rangers sometimes pay the price for all the shots they block. This year, you know, knock on wood, I mean, we've had a couple injuries due to blocked shots, but not like a whole boatload, at least in my recollection. I mean, a lot of the injuries, you know, we had the Callahan injury was something, but we haven't had a lot of guys out for long periods of time other than Stahl because of the concussion and Michael Sauer, you know, if we ever see him again.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're not going to.
Which sucks because I really like Michael Sauer. I really thought he was coming into his own. And I hope he does recover from this, but, you know. And what about Mr. Magoo coming out and saying, hey, we want to sign Max Zuccarello next year. You see that, Jimmy?
Yeah, I saw that.
You don't sound happy.
I'm annoyed with him. He said the week before that the Penguins were the best team in the league.
Well, he was trying to play diplomatic like me. This is why me and Glenn say they have so much in common.
We're in a war with them.
That's right. We must use naked, merciless force.
Hold on, let me take the jersey off. you know, Chandler's been on hold for a while, and I never know if he's listening or if he wants to.
Predominantly, I mean, what is he really going to say about last night's game? He's going to be like, I'll do the Chandler call. Listen, all you people, listen. I'm not a fucking great fan of John Tortorella, but he's got this fucking.
Wait. Hold on. Before you get going again, can you start that over, please?
Okay. All you people out there that are saying the Rangers only won 2-1 over Detroit, just fucking stop. Just fucking stop. I'm not the greatest fan of John Tortorella, but this fucking team is winning. And that's all I care about. So everybody's got to stop with the Jason Chimeras, the fucking Jason Chimeras. And I got to go pick up my fucking girlfriend. I'll talk to you later. Peace, guys. That's my chance.
Chandler, was that pretty accurate or what?
Oh my God, you're killing me right now.
We've never heard Chandler laugh that hard.
Holy shit.
Just fucking stop.
Oh my God. How you doing, guys?
What's up, man? Were you holding because you were listening, or did you want to get on the air?
Oh no, I got some shit from Pittsburgh tonight.
Oh, good. Oh, okay.
But first, I want to say, Howie, I'm really glad that your wife's doing okay. And, you know, my thoughts are with you guys.
Yes. Hope you guys are doing okay. His wife had to have surgery yesterday. She's in ICU. Sounds like she's going to be okay.
Well,
thoughts and prayers.
And also,
to the Barton.
Joey's going in for surgery tomorrow.
Yeah, he's having gallbladder surgery, Joey Barton.
Yeah.
This group needs to get healthy before the playoffs. That's all I'm saying.
But, you know, I mean, maybe it's a product of where I was brought up. Maybe it's a product of my being in service. But you know what? I'm not scared of any fucking team. And I'm really sick of hearing about these fucking teams. Everyone always understood. Fuck Pittsburgh. Fuck Pittsburgh. Fuck Pittsburgh. All right? Fuck Crosby. Fuck Kennedy. Fuck Metco. Fuck Bilsma. Fuck their arena. Fuck T6. Fuck the Liberty Bell. All right? Fuck when you're 10. All right? I'm not – the best team in the league is the St. Louis Blues because they have the most points. Period. End of story. All right? My team doesn't have to be scared of anybody. Why? Because we're better than them. Maybe it's this whole political correctness. Everybody gets an award. There's always a lust for water. Everybody's a plan. Fuck that. You want to be better than me, beat me. Fuck the Penguins. All right? They haven't beat us in the playoffs. So I don't give a shit about them. I don't care if they're 1 point, 2 points. I don't give a fuck the half a point. A percentage point behind us, they're behind us. Okay? This is not me knocking anybody's fans and I'm better, stronger. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying fuck Pittsburgh. I'm not scared of them. Why should we be scared of them? If they beat us, you know what I'm going to say? The 5 seconds after they beat us, that we're better than them. That's what
I agree.
I'm going to say.
They've been behind us all year.
Yeah, I think, I said the other night, you don't fear them, you respect them. If you fear them, you've already lost.
Exactly. Now, I'm not saying that they're not a skilled team. They're a very skilled team. They're not better than my team. They'll never be better than my team. Why? Because my team's the Rangers, and we're just better than everybody else. I don't give a shit what happens. We can be in last place. We're still better than them.
Whoa.
That's just me. I'm always going to think we're better than everybody else. That's just me. You know, the Detroit game was great. Ty Conklin usually plays out of his fucking mind against us. Fortunately, we were able to win. I think that's the first time that they've beaten the Red Wings, and God, since Lundqvist has even been here, I don't think he's ever beaten the Red Wings before.
No, he had never beaten them. I think it's the first time the Rangers have beaten them since, I think I saw 03 or 05 or something like that. It's been a while.
I'm afraid.
You know, that was a big deal to me. But, I mean, this shit is killing me on Facebook. I got people retrading Stahl. People writing posts on Blue Trip. Oh, Mark Stahl's not playing. He's only, he's not.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
I thought after the trading deadline, all this crap with trades. Why are people obsessed with trades?
I don't run that site anymore.
I mean, just give it up. We're in first place.
Exactly. I mean, you know, why the fuck are you concerned with who was trading in the offseason? The season's not even over yet. We got people making trades on. Well, we need to package Devinsky and this guy and this guy and this guy and win and Mark Stahl. Listen, I'm again. You know, don't take it personally, but shut the fuck up. All right, enjoy this. All right, stop trying to trade people. Stop worrying about what the Mark Stahl is 70%, 60%, 50%, 30%. He's playing every game, and yes, he's making. Mark Stahl says he's been on the Rangers. Once again, he throws a blind pass into the middle. Once again. We all know that. We've seen him do this for years. Dan Girardi, once again, will fucking turn the puck over at the worst possible time. We've seen him do it for years. All right? Guess what? They're still doing the same things. It's got nothing to do with the concussion. Got nothing to do with when you trade them. That's just what they do. And if you watch the game, you can watch a Ranger game and just wait for it. It's coming. It's coming up. There's the turnover. It happens every game. When we had fucking, what's his name, Roosevelt, once again, we knew he was going to get a puck deflected off of him that was going to go into the goal. It just is going to happen. All right? So can we stop and just enjoy the first time in 20 years almost that we've clinched a playoff spot, that we're going to be on to the playoffs probably, more than likely, as the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And we're going to kick everybody's ass. I'm just saying.
Like I said, we got the whole league on shut. We got them shut down. We got them on lockdown. I don't see any teams. If Henrik Lundqvist plays the way he's supposed to, if you get 20, they hold teams under 20 shots. They're going a long way.
I mean, it's, you know, I don't know, but holding on to that since that Pittsburgh guy called in, so, you know.
Well, I'm glad you got it out. And if you can't call in, I could just do the whole rant. myself.
Chandler, we're going to take a couple other calls before we wrap up.
All right.
Stay on hold, or are you listening?
Yeah, go ahead and leave me hold, because the windows, I can't do the chat room, so.
All right.
Thanks for calling in. Thanks for two calls tonight. Bye, Chandler. He's still laughing. DB Maven, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how are you, my friend?
Hey, so I'll keep this short so you can get to some other calls. The last time I was on the show was like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and everybody was bummed because they weren't playing well and the house was falling apart. And I sort of remember sort of suggesting that, like, relax. It's just a bump. They haven't lost more than three games in a row all year. They hadn't even lost three at that point. And now they're kind of putting it back together, and they're marching on their way. And maybe they will, and maybe they won't end up in first place. Sure, it'd be nice if they did. But they're playing well. And bringing Zuccarello up is a good thing because he showed that he's grown up. And he's now playing in NHL style, and he's doing pretty well. Erickson has improved. They've got some depth. Who knows what else may happen? Maybe Kreider comes in. Who knows? It should be interesting. Enjoy it. They're in first place right now. They're already in the playoffs. They've clinched. Be happy. And I could do a Chandler and say, just shut the fuck up.
Oh, sorry.
I wanted to ask you just one thing quickly. They've been saying that, you know, they're giving Tortorella a lot of credit for bringing up Zuccarello at the right time. Do you think Zuccarello should have been brought up earlier?
Why would you have, though? No. So my direct answer is no.
Okay.
Why would you? Well, they were playing
well.
So
John Scott
didn't
have to play.
Come on, what's the matter? You didn't like the skyscraper line? Boyle, Scott, and Rupp?
Jeez, that's maybe the biggest line in history, they said, too.
We could be.
So, okay, so there's your, I got a, you know, listen, the voice of reason. I accept your answer, and I treat it as law.
Costa runs for the dessert tray faster than that line skates. No, and he wasn't even here to enjoy that line.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, DB. Well, thank you for your input and, you know, positive spin. And remember, you know, should I be worried about Pittsburgh quickly? Because me and Chandler aren't, but maybe you convince me otherwise.
Look, it is what it is. Malkin is clearly having an outstanding season one of the best seasons in an awful long time from anybody. Neil is the biggest addition to that team that should make everybody scared because he's a talent. It really gives them a tremendous amount of skilled scoring depth up and down the lineup. You look at some of the goals Dupuis has been scoring and some of these other guys. You look at some of the plays that Kennedy is making and some of these guys. It's just, should you be scared? Hell yes, absolutely. But it is what it is. And, you know, the NHL loaded up that team deliberately, and maybe they're Bettman's favorite sons or whatever, and, you know, what it is, what it is. You know, again, none of us would have figured in September that this team would be in first place in the middle of March. And the fact that they are is wonderful and gratifying and everything, but we never would have figured that they were a cup team at this point. So Tortorella and Jernander down in Hartford and all the coaches and everything else and the players. So there's some key additions in the locker room, and I think Rupp and Richards are two of them, and you can forget about Rupp on the ice, but he brings something to the locker room. Have helped mold that team along with the captain. You can't forget about Callahan because that's a big contribution there. But they've brought this team together, and they're playing for and with each other more than we've seen a lot of Ranger teams in the past. So that's gotten us where we are talent-wise. I still say that we are not cup-ready just like Tortorella does. I hope I'm wrong. I'd love to see it happen. Absolutely. I'm a Ranger fan. But talent-wise, we can't compare to Pittsburgh. Now, can we defend the hell out of them and maybe beat them? Sure. Absolutely. On any given night, you never know what's going to happen.
That's
Howie,
true.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Howie. We're on the podcast. We're done streaming. Sorry I left you on hold so long.
Oh, don't worry about it, man. I'm just appreciative of all the well wishes I got the last couple, days.
How's
it's
the
been
Mrs.
very,
doing?
Very stressful.
Oh, I'll bet.
He's okay. I just talked before when I was listening to the show before I called in, and she's being moved from one ICU unit to another just because they had her in a regular ICU, and they moved her to the neurological floor. So my son can't see her yet because she's not in a regular room, but other than that, she's recovering very nicely.
Good. Glad to hear
it.
What exactly happened? I missed this on Facebook. Fill me in just quickly.
My wife had a massive headache a while ago, a couple of years ago, and was diagnosed with what they call a pituitary adenoma. She went for a CAT scan. It's a benign tumor that resides inside, just underneath the brain, and kind of puts pressure on around the pituitary and kind of puts pressure on the optic nerve. So the adenoma grew, and she went back another CT scan, and the neurologist, her regular neurologist, told her it needs to come out. So the head of neurology did the surgery yesterday with the one of the heads of ENT at the hospital we go to.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was about a 3-hour surgery.
Holy moly. Well, but the surgery is just a success, and she's on the road to recovery?
Yeah, she's just going to be in the hospital.
Well, that's,
she'll be home by Sunday, I'm hoping.
Who's cooking your meals?
Mother-in-law lives with us.
Oh, well, see that. The
mother-in-law.
God bless you.
Yeah, her.
There's going to be a special place in heaven for you, my friend.
She's great. She helps take care of, she helps take care of my son, so.
Well, that's good. That's,
and, she moved in with us after my wife's father passed away in 2003. So when we moved from Jersey to Pennsylvania, she was with us in Jersey, and obviously she moved with us. And she's been with us ever since. So it's really nice. I mean, unfortunately for me, I missed the majority of the game last night, obviously. I even had a TV remote from in the waiting room. I tried to get the NBC channel on, and the fucking thing was locked. I couldn't get it. My phone, it was terrible. But the only thing I did hear was the game. I heard, the late of the third period, and I heard the game winner. And it was kind of a really strange call from Kenny Albert. It was like he scored. He wasn't overexcited or anything. But
wow, it was very nonchalant.
Very nonchalant. But
did you get to hear
Doc's call? It was fucking over the top obnoxiousness. I tell you what, and I watched the game Monday night because I was home. And I tell you, he was openly rooting for the Devils. You could see it. As you're watching the game, you can see it as he's rooting for them. It's just, it makes me want to vomit with him sometimes. But, they're on a slight roll. Do the Pens concern me? Hey, you know what? They're there. We know they're there. We know they're getting a ton of calls from the referees. We know Bettman is kissing their ass left and right. But I've seen it happen with teams like this before, where they got on this great run, and then they hit the wall, and then they can't figure out what the hell to do, and then they forget how to win. And, because you're not going to go 16-0 in the playoffs, and you're not going to win every game.
Right.
And, you're not going to get that clutch goal when you need it. And you're not going to play dregs of the league either.
Right.
Nashville tonight.
There can be something to say that, Pittsburgh may have, it's still a good time to be playing well, but they may hit the skids after playing well for so long, and D.B. Maven's right. I mean, they got a stacked lineup forward-wise, but that in the playoffs, it's a whole different thing. We all know what it's about. It's all about defense and goaltending and
I think Lundqvist can beat in a series. I really do. I think Lundqvist is far. I mean, granted, he's got the cup ring, but a lot of that was Crosby and Malkin and all the other guys up front. I think Lundqvist could beat him in a series with the kind of team the Rangers have now, and to keep it low scoring, they could win.
Yeah, that's what I told the Pittsburgh fan when I was playing Kissinger the other day. And, I think Lundqvist could beat Fleury hands down. I don't think Marc-Andre Fleury is that good of a goaltender. I think he's certainly better than average, but I don't think he's spectacular.
He
could be had.
And
all right, fellas, I got to go eat my dinner. My fish sandwich awaits.
Yeah, I got to talk. There's another show I got to get to. What's his name? McCollin is having another show tonight. It's about all sports.
Oh, is it one of those kitchen shows, whatever they call it?
What the hell's it called? The Caller's Cookout or something?
Yeah, that one. Okay. All right.
He's making up the names for his shows.
I think the sports.
The guy Ty Powell. Yeah, the guy Ty Powell, who I know you got a big to-do with last week.
Oh, he's just a pain in the ass.
He actually is one of those. I know he is. Nice guy, though, because I talk to him all the time.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to get some momentum for his for this whole thing with them. So.
Right.
Like, you guys have the momentum already, so, because everybody pretty much knows about you guys. And it's funny. I get an email from the Garden about tickets available for tomorrow night's game. And it says on top of the thing, "This is New York hockey." I'm like, man, oh, man. Like, can they – like, they copy – like, see, and you're right. Maybe somebody from the Rangers is sitting in as a guest on this.
Oh, I'm sure. I have no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
The thought stealers are all around us. All right, Howie.
As far as everything else?
Take care. And I want to
give the missus a kiss from all of us.
Thank you, guys, and I'll keep you informed of what's going on.
All right.
Okay. Take care.
Good night.
Thank you, guys.
Good night, everybody. And he'll talk to you later.